cannot be a friend of God and a friend of the world system. You can't be a friend of righteousness and a friend of darkness. Either you're with God or you're with Satan. There is no middle ground. You cannot have it both ways. And it's time to make your choice and take your stand on holy ground. Whose side are you on? For friendship with the world is enmity with God, and friendship with God will make you an enemy of this world. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Reminds me of the man who, after Agape House service on Sunday one week, he wanted to go to Takoradi to visit his family. So he went down to the motor park and found a very nice car going to Takoradi. They opened the back door and he put his foot in as if he wanted to enter the Takoradi car. But as he did that, he looked to his right and he saw a car very close, just near him. And on the top, they had a sign that said, Aflao. And he looked inside that car and there was a beautiful lady inside. And she batted her eyes like this and she gave him a big smile. She said, Hi. Are you from Agape House? Me too. And suddenly he was torn. He knew he had family in Takoradi. He was already planning to go to Takoradi, but he couldn't miss this opportunity to meet this beautiful lady and get to know her and exchange numbers. Hey, Abba. So he decided he would have the best of both worlds. So he took his remaining leg, the right leg, and he put that inside the car going to Aflao. One leg in Takoradi, one leg in Aflao. Hey, Charlie, I have the best of both worlds. He started exchanging numbers with the lady, talking sweet to her. Everything was cool. He could have the best of both until the drivers kicked the engine and put the car in gear. They both started to drive and the young man started to shake. And suddenly the Takoradi car went west and the Aflao car went east. And the young man fell on his bottom on the ground. That's a picture of a lot of you. You've got one foot in the church. You pray. If you have a need, you even come to all night. You pay your tithe once in a year. You say scriptures. You listen to gospel music. But when something attracts you, when something lures you in the world, you put your other foot there. You think, I can have the best of both. A little bit of Jesus, a little bit of lady. But they're going in opposite directions. And you may only temporarily put one foot in each, but they're going in opposite directions. And you cannot be a friend of God and a friend of the world because you can't go in two different directions at the same time. Listen to 2 Corinthians 6, 14-18. Listen carefully. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, everyone say therefore. Come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things and I will welcome you. And I will be your father and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And you have to choose. You cannot be a friend of God and a friend of the world. You need to shift your friends and shift your future into God's kingdom with God's people. I believe deep in our hearts, we all know this. If we're honest today, we would all acknowledge that we know there are some people that when we get around them, they pull us down and lead us astray and tempt us to sin. They're a bad influence on us. And yet, we seem powerless to change. What is it that makes us follow the crowd? What is it that makes us behave like Danny in our pre-sermon video clip? Doing what he knew was foolish, but doing it because his friends prompted him. I believe that's the second step today. Turn your notes over to page 2 and understand that we all face a choice, but we also all face the challenge. The challenge is, will we be motivated by the fear of God or the fear of man? For the thing that moves us to do what we don't want to do, the thing that makes us do what we know we shouldn't do, even though we don't want to, is when our friends come around and we're buckled by the fear of man, when the influence of others leads us astray, because we don't want to be viewed as wicked, we don't want to be ridiculed or laughed at, we don't want to be isolated or rejected, so we go along to please the crowd. That's the lesson we learned from Kwame Lizard. Kwame Lizard had a great occasion coming up. The time had arrived for him to go to his fiancée's village, marry her, and take her home. He was so excited. He'd prepared for years and years. And finally, the great day came. He was ready. And he invited his friend Kwesi Lizard to go along with him. But unfortunately, as they dressed up and prepared, other animals from the forest came along and decided that they wanted to go with Kwame Lizard to his fiancée's village. And so the hawk, the grass cutter, and the turtle all gathered around and said, "We want to go with you. We want to go with you." And Kwame Lizard was the kind of guy that couldn't say no to anybody. He didn't want to hurt anyone's feelings. He didn't want to offend anyone. So reluctantly, he smiled and agreed, "Yes, let's all go together. The more, the merrier." But what Kwame Lizard didn't understand is that those other friends were a distraction who would keep him from his destination. For it wasn't long after they'd started on the journey that Mrs. Grasscutter saw a nice blade of grass and started eating the grass by the roadside. And when Kwame Lizard said, "Please, madame, we have to go," she said, "Oh, I'm eating, I'm enjoying. What are you in a hurry for? Just relax." And so they waited for some hours while Grasscutter cut the grass. And then before he knew what had happened, the hawk had spied something in a distant land. And as he flew high above, he shouted to Kwame Lizard, "Wait for me, I'm coming. I have to go and see what I see over there." For 2 whole days, they waited for the hawk to fly through the air before he came back. Kwame Lizard didn't want to offend anybody. Kwame Lizard didn't want the hawk to call him wicked. Kwame Lizard was afraid what the hawk would do to him, so he sat at the road and waited for 2 days. But the worst of all was the turtle. Because as they were going, they came to a place in the road where a tree had fallen on the path. The turtle couldn't crawl over it. The turtle couldn't crawl over under it. And so they had to sit and wait for the tree to rot and decay before the turtle could walk through it. Hey! By the time Kwame Lizard got to his fiancée's village, she had tired of waiting for him, and she'd gone to marry another man. Oh. The lizard let his friends keep him from his destiny. He wanted his fiancée. He was headed there, but something held him back. It was the fear of man. And the same is true in our lives today. Fear of others will hinder you from reaching heaven. Fear of others will keep you from your destiny. And there are many of you here today who want God. You want to choose Jesus. You want to grow as a Christian and become the person He's called you to be. But you're afraid of people and you're hindered and weighed down by other people's opinions. And when I talk about the fear of man, I'm not talking that you're afraid of someone coming to beat you. I'm not talking about a fear of armed robbers. I'm talking about the fear of their influence because you're afraid of what they think. You're more concerned with pleasing people than you are pleasing God. You're afraid to say something that will offend, so you keep quiet even when your words would be helpful. You're afraid to take action because you don't want to be viewed as being proud, so you sit on your hands and do nothing. You're afraid your witness might cause a quarrel, so you keep quiet, ashamed of Jesus Christ. And if we're honest, all of us this morning would admit that we have all been guilty of giving in to the fear of man. For this is, in fact, the original sin of Adam. The Bible tells us in the Garden of Eden, when God gave the command, "Don't eat from this tree," Eve went and Adam was there standing next to her. And Eve was tempted and she took the fruit. Adam knew it was wrong. Adam could have stopped her. Adam should have spoken up. Adam should have said, "Wait, lady, what are you doing?" Adam should have grabbed her arm and said, "No, don't sin against God." But Adam kept quiet. He feared his wife more than he feared God. Maybe he didn't want to lose her. Maybe he didn't want to offend her. Maybe he didn't want to get into a quarrel with her. But he became snared with sin because he went along with the crowd rather than with God. And that's the problem for all of us. Anytime we follow the crowd, we become snared, trapped in bondage. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." How many of us can honestly say that sometimes we've kept quiet because we were afraid of being ridiculed, afraid of looking bad, afraid of what others would say or think, we're afraid of offending man. And those men don't even care about us. Those men won't stick with us in a crisis. But we're afraid to speak up. At our working place, when there's wrongdoing taking place, when people are stealing from the company, we know it, but we don't want to say anything. We're afraid if we do, they will accuse us of trying to destroy them. You don't want to tell on them, and so you do nothing. When a co-student comes in the examination hall and says, "Please give me the answer," you say to yourself, "If I don't give him the answer and help him cheat, he will think I'm wicked." You're more concerned about your reputation than your righteousness. Some of the young people in our midst, you go to school one day, your friends are gathered under a tree in a crowd. They say, "Hey, come here, we got something to show you." You go there and you discover they've got a laptop and they're watching hardcore pornography. They're laughing, but you feel guilty. You know it's wrong to watch pornography, but you're afraid to turn and walk away. You know if you do, they will say, "Hey, culo, dog guy, mama bye." So you stay and watch, and you pretend to enjoy it, but you grieve the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you plant pictures in your mind that are bondage to you, and you cannot break free. You are ensnared by the fear of man. You're just like the people in Jesus' day found in John 12. Many people did believe in him, however, including some of the Jewish leaders. But they wouldn't admit it for fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Friends, the fear of man will take you where you don't want to go, make you do what you don't want to do, and will end up destroying what you hold dear. Many years ago, I heard the tragic but true story of a young boy in San Diego, California, USA. I'll call him Tommy. Tommy was just 16 years old. He was going to high school, but he so desperately wanted friends. He wanted to be accepted and loved and well thought of. So he found a group of older boys in the high school who were popular. They were football players. They were handsome. They had money. All the ladies wanted to be around them. And Tommy tried to make friends with them. But they told him plainly, "Tommy, if you're going to be our friend, if you're going to hang with us, you got to do what we do. You've got to become our little disciples." Tommy didn't know what that meant, but he agreed to go along with them because he was so intent on having friends with these popular boys. So one Saturday, they came to his house in their car. They picked him up in the morning. And as they started driving around, Tommy was in the back seat. He thought it was really cool. He was hanging with the guys when all of a sudden they brought out a bottle of liquor and started drinking. Tommy had never drunk before. He didn't know what it was like, but they pushed it into his hand and said, "Drink, drink." He was too afraid to say no. So he started drinking and he got drunk. And then after the bottle was finished, they pulled out some weed, some marijuana, and they started smoking. And they handed him a joint and said, "Smoke this." Tommy'd never smoked anything in his life. He didn't know what to do. He didn't want to do it. But the pressure from his friends was on him. And so he started smoking. It made him sick. But it also distorted his mind and thinking. And he sat in the back of the car in a fog and a haze of drunkenness and drug use. And then before he knew what happened, the car had stopped. They pulled over by the roadside, a little ways outside of town, in a deserted area by the farmland, where they saw a young lady walking by herself. With Tommy sitting in the back seat in a drunken stupor, the other guys got out of the car, grabbed the girl, put a cloth around her head, disrobed her, and raped her. And then they went to the back seat and pulled Tommy out and said, "Now it's your turn. You want to be our friend? Do what we do." Tommy didn't want to. He'd never done that before, but he was afraid. Afraid of what his friends would say. So he did. Started raping the young lady. And as he was raping her, she was struggling to get away, and suddenly the cloth came loose, and Tommy looked into the eyes of the girl he was raping, his sister, his flesh and blood sister. For the fear of man will take you where you don't want to go, make you do what you don't want to do, and destroy everything you hold dear. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 10:28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Don't be afraid of any power on this earth. Don't be afraid of any human being, any police, any friend, any army. Don't be afraid of those who can only take your physical life but can't touch your soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And the challenge we face today is that we're constantly being pulled down because of the fear of man. But we've got to understand, we ought to fear God rather than man. We ought to fear the eternal judge of the whole earth rather than a temporary crowd of people who are here today and gone tomorrow. We ought to fear God and follow Him, never minding what anyone else will say. And you can only be a friend of God when you put fear of God ahead of the fear of man. For if you don't overcome the fear of man, not only will it lead you to sin, it will lead you to deny Jesus Christ Himself. That's what happened to Peter. Matthew chapter 26, 69 to 75, the Bible says, on the night that Christ was betrayed, Peter followed Him at a distance to where they were holding the trial. Peter stood outside warming his hands around a fire, and then a girl came up to him, a servant girl, an unnamed house help, and said, "You were one of those with Jesus." Peter denied it and said, "I don't know what you're talking about." Later, out by the gate, another servant girl, a house girl, came and noticed him and said, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. "I don't even know the man," he said. A little while later, some of the other bystanders came to Peter and said, "You must be one of them. We can tell by your accent." Peter swore, "A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed, and suddenly Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went away weeping. You have a choice today, friendship with God or friendship with the world. And to make that choice, you face a challenge. Will you fear God or fear man? For the fact is, you have to overcome the fear of man. Maybe you're here today and you realize that you've been running with the wrong crowd. You want to please people all the time, and you want acceptance. You're afraid of being rejected and ridiculed and mocked and persecuted. So you do whatever you can to please people. Maybe you feel that there's no way out of this dilemma, but I have good news for you today. There is a way to change. Change is possible. You can shift your future by shifting your friends, and that change comes when you allow God's love and presence to fill you. And that's our third step today. If you would, turn your notes to page 3 and look to fill in the blanks. Change. The change comes when we are filled with God's love. See, if we're filled with His love, we won't care what other people think. If you experience Jesus in a real way every day, if He comes to live inside of you and you're experiencing His love and His presence, you will be determined to know Him and follow the right path. Your focus will be on Christ, not on the people around you. And this is exactly what happened to Peter and John in the book of Acts. Peter and John, after the resurrection, after the appearance of Christ to them in His resurrected state, they began to preach boldly. The same Peter who denied Jesus now stood publicly and declared Him. The same Peter who had betrayed Him with an oath and a curse now stood and declared His name to everyone in Jerusalem. And because of their stand as a friend of God, they were isolated and persecuted and brought before the Sanhedrin and put on trial. But listen to what they said in Acts 4:20. Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Peter and John had experienced something. They'd seen Jesus. They'd heard Jesus. They'd felt the love of Jesus. And they were overcoming the challenge of the fear of man because their personal interaction with Christ. For when His presence and His love fill you, you'll be so convinced, so impressed, so changed that nothing else matters. You will not be able to keep quiet. And that's where I've come to in my life. I love Jesus. I don't care what anybody says. You can mock me in Tassano. You can ridicule me in Tema. I love Jesus Christ, and I'm going to stand for Him. I'm not living to please people. I'm not living for the ways of the world. I'm not living for the friendship of the world. You can write about me in the graphic. You can go on Joy Online and talk about me, but I'm set my mind. I love Jesus. He's inside of me, and the only voice I hear is His. The only thing I see is Him. My focus is on Jesus. I've been changed by His love, and the world can't touch me again. Paul had this testimony. In 1 Thessalonians 2:4, he said, "For we speak as messengers who've been approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people." In 2 Corinthians 5:9, he says, "So we make it our goal to please Him." And in the testimony of these men, we find the secret to overcome the challenge of the fear of man and to change. If we will fill with His love and be consumed in His presence, we won't care for the approval of men. We'll focus on Christ and pleasing Him. Many years ago, there was a young boy named Robert. Just a young boy, very small. One day he picked up a violin that was lying around his house and started playing it. The music he could make was amazing. And suddenly his parents realized they had a child prodigy. Their boy Robert was naturally talented. He seemed to have the gift. The violin music just came out of him. And so they quickly rushed to look for the master violinist, the greatest violinist they could find, who could take time to tutor and instruct little Robert. They went to the greatest violinist in their country. They found him. They begged him. He said, "Well, if I listen to Robert and I feel that he's got natural talent, I'll consider it." So they brought Robert to him, and Robert played the violin. And the master was amazed. Here was talent. Here was someone who, it was as if the violin was a part of his very body. He quickly agreed and took on Robert as his pupil. They practiced together for 2 years, and Robert kept improving and improving. He became so gifted, so talented. This master instructor decided he must share this talent with the world. So he decided to rent a large auditorium and advertise far and wide and bring in thousands of people so that they too could enjoy the wonderful talent of Robert playing the violin. The date was set, and they told Robert. But there was a small problem. As extremely talented as he was also extremely shy. When he learned he would have to go out on stage and face this large crowd, he grew weak and fearful. So then the master instructor took him aside and said, "Robert, when you go on stage, don't look at anyone around you. I'll be seated in the front row. Just look at me. You're not playing for the praise of men. You're not playing for the applause of the crowd. Just play for me. Play for an audience of one. It will be just like our practice sessions. You and me alone in the parlor, just playing the violin." And so that's what Robert did. The packed auditorium was there. The finery, the elegance was there. The elite and the wealthy were there. But when Robert stepped on stage, he only looked at one man, that master instructor. And though they applauded and cheered, he only played for the audience of one. The one master he knew. The one master he met with every day. That's how it will be for us. The secret to overcoming the fear of man. The secret to making wise choices and making friends with God, not the world, is to live for an audience of one. Let the world and all that is in it lose focus. As you daily commune with Jesus, let your focus be on Him and Him alone. The world might applaud. The world might condemn. But turn a deaf ear to what men say and play for an audience of one. Galatians tells us how we can do that. Listen to Paul's words, chapter 1, verse 10. Obviously, I'm not trying to please, be a people pleaser. No, I'm trying to please God. If I were still trying to please people, I would not be Christ's servant. And that brings us back to the choice. The choice. You can't be Christ's servant and live for the praise of men. You've got to choose today. Will you be a friend of God or a friend of the world? If you want to be a friend of God, you've got to overcome the challenge of the fear of man. The only way to do that is to come before His presence and yield to Him today and say, Father, fill me anew. Baptize me anew with Your love, Your power, Your presence.
Experience deep worship. Hear life-changing sermons by Pastor Whitcomb.
And the Bible says all the people saw it and they lifted their hands and says, Jehovah, He's the Lord. Jehovah is the Lord. Jehovah is the Lord.
Enjoy a truly friendly experience. Join us at Agape House in East Legon every weekend. A warm welcome awaits you. Agape House New Testament Church, Agape Land, East Legon. Saturday night church from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. First Sunday service from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Second Sunday service, 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m.
Join us next week, at this time, on this station, for another episode of Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb. Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb was brought to you by Revelation Media Ministry.